Today's Shir is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes, Siman Aleph, at the beginning of the Amid. The Gemara begins on reflecting on what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if the person who borrowed whatever is being borrowed says to the person who's lending it to him, send me the cow with your Eved, with your Shliach, and something happened to the animal as it was coming to the shoyl, Mishnah said that the shoyl will be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, one of the individuals who the Mishnah said will be considered that you are responsible if you sent it with is Biyad Avdoi, is with the Eved of the Mashal. Asked, and then at that point, Chayiv, the shoyl is already held responsible. But ask the Gemara, don't we have a rule throughout Shas, the Yad Avdoi Kiyad Rabbi, that the Eved is an extension of his owner. And therefore, if the Eved is considered an extension of his owner, so then it never left the possession of the owner. And since it never left the possession of the owner, why should the Shoyl be held responsible? Answers, the Gemara Amar Shmuel, who is the Eved that is being referred to in our Mishnah? Bet Eved Ivri. It was the person is sending it with his Eved Ivri, the Loikana Legufe. When is there a halacha of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi that is considered an extension of his owner? That halacha only applies by an Eved Kanani. Here we're speaking about an Eved Ivri. Rav Amar, but Rav says we could even say that we're speaking about Eved Kanani. Nasa Ka'imaloi, the way we understand the Mishnah, it's as if the Shoyal told the Mashal, the Kisha B'mako, hit it with a stick, and because of that, V'tavi, it'll become mine. And the point that is that the Shoyal asked the Mashal to do a Kinyan in transferring responsibility for this animal from the Mashal to the Shoyal. And since the responsibility was transferred from the Mashal to the Shoyal, so now it doesn't make a difference who was the actual person who brought that cow to the shoyl. It's already in his responsibility. That's why it's not a problem. That's why it's not a problem that it was sent with the Eved. There is a very big discussion here in the Rishonim that what is required for somebody to become a shoyl. Some Rishonim say that if the shoyl gives instructions, that is adequate. But this Gemara seems to teach us that that would not be enough. So the way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. If the animal would have been actually sent with somebody else from the Mashal to the shoyl, the fact that the shoyl asked him to send it would be enough for the shoyl to become responsible. The issue in our Gemara, as the Gemara clearly indicated, was that who was the person that was asked to bring it? Who was the person that was asked to bring it? The person that was asked to bring it was the Eved. And as the Gemara began, Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. And therefore, since the Eved is considered an extension, just because the shoyl asked that it should be brought would not be enough. And therefore, in order to make it that he should be held just enough that he should be held responsible, what is necessary is that there has to be some sort of a kinyan, and that is the kinyan that the Gemara said. The Kisha B'mako, he hit it, and by that it became the owner's, that's how he became a shoyl. But Tosfos then points out a different point. If we're learning, as we're saying, that the Halacha is Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, that the Eved is considered an extension of his owner, so then why should this not be considered a situation of Baal of Imoy, that we've been learning throughout our Perek, that when Baal of Imoy, the Shoyl, is never responsible. So to which Tosfos says that even though we're learning the Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, that doesn't make that he should be considered like Baal of Imoy. Baal of Imoy is only on the person himself who owns the animal. There we say that if that person who's also working for me at that time will say Yad Eved Kiyad, will say Be'ol of Imai. But that a Eved, even though we say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, it isn't enough to make it be considered Be'ol of Imai. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Hashayel Sapara, if somebody borrows a para from somebody, V'shulchai B'yad Avda B'yad Shluchai, and it was sent to the Shoyel through the son of the Mashal, the Shlich of the Mashal, Chayiv. B'yad Avdai, if it was sent with the Eved, Potter. So says the Gemara. So the Braisa clearly differentiates between an Eved, the Braisa clearly differentiates between an Eved and a and others. So says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Shmuel, according to the way Shmuel began our Shia today, we could understand the difference why in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says the Shoyl is responsible, and why in the Braisa, the Halach is that the Shoyl is not responsible. Because Bishlam L'Shmuel, Shmuel is going to explain that Mishnisin is Eved Ivri, our Mishnah is speaking about Eved Ivri, by Eved Ivri we don't say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, and the Braisa is speaking about Eved Kanani, where we do say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, and the distinction is very understandable. El Rav, but according to Rav, Kasha, we have a very big Kasha, because according to Rav, even in by an Eved Kanani, says Gemara, it's like I asked him to become the Shoyl by asking the Mashal to send it. Rav said it's like I made the Shoyl made a Kinyan that he shall be held responsible. If that's the case, asked the Gemara, why would we make a difference between an Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri? Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rav. Answers Rav, Loi Tema, don't understand our Mishnah that when the Shoyl asked the Mashal to send it to him, Nasa Kaimaloi, the Halacha treats it as if he told him to make a Kinyan. El Eima, Amalai, it has to be in a case that the Shoyl says to the Mashal, Hikisha B'makal V'tavai, only when he actually did a Kinyan, only in a case where a Kinyan was actually done, that's when the Shoyl becomes responsible, even though the Mashal sent it with his Eved. But in the case where he didn't actually make a Kinyan, he just asked him to send it, then he would not be held responsible. Ditma, Hashleni Parascha, if the Shoyl says to the Mashal, please lend me your Para, Vamaloi, Biadmi, and he asks him, with whom should I send it? Vamaloi, Kish B'mako, Vitova, hit it, and it will come. Then, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav Kivin Shiyotzim, Rishus Mashal, when it was actually a Kinyan, a Mesa, and if something happens while it was coming to the Shoyl would be Chai, because it was an actual Kinyan making him responsible. Name him Silei, says the Gemara attempts to bring a Raya from a Braisa to the opinion of Rav, because the Braisa says, Hashaleni Paroscha, when somebody says to somebody else, please lend me your cow, Vamalei B'yadmi, who should I, with whom should I send it? Vamalei Kisha B'maka V'tava, Kivin Shiyotzim Rishus Mashal Mesa, once it leaves the possession of the Mashal, at that point, Chayiv, the Shoyl becomes responsible. But what do we see? Why is he responsible? Because he told him to make a Kinyan. Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, the Braisa is not a compelling proof. Because Hochmaiskin, we're going to explain the Braisa speaking about, the property of the Shoyl is within the, is right after the property of the Mashal, and therefore, when the Mashal sends it, Vadil Hasam Ozlo, that it's certainly going to end up in the Shoyl's property. Since it's certainly going to end up in the Shoyl's property, that's why the Shoyl becomes responsible. Otherwise, the Shoyl would not become responsible. Ask the Gemara if it was sent directly to that property, and there's, so what's the chiddush that the Shoyl becomes responsible? Yochab, Maila Memra, what's the chiddush? Answers, so Rashi explains that there are places in the property where the animal will maybe end up in those corners and not end up in the Shoyl's property. So Gazyaisa means this kind of corners that it may not end up. The Ritva has a very difficult problem with Rashi, because he says like this, in whose property are those corners? If those corners are on the property of the Mashal, so never left the Mashal's property. And of course the Shoyal won't be held responsible. If those corners are in the property of the Shoyal, so what's the difference where in the Shoyal's property did the animal end up? Once they're coming in the Shoyal's property, he should be Chayiv. And therefore he explains that the definition of Gazyais are these area that are between the Shoyal's property and the Mashal's property, but they don't belong to the Shoyal. They actually belong to other people. And under normal circumstances, when the animal will walk straight, it's going to walk into the Shoyal's property. But the animal may veer off. Says the Ritva that the Gemara is teaching us, as long as these Gezyaisa are not a Rishus Rabbim, and therefore it's going to go into the Shoyal's property and not have to walk through a Rishus Rabbim, that's enough to make the Shoyal responsible. He's not certain, the Shoyal's not certain it's going to end up in his property. Says the Maradona Kaima Hassam, maybe the animal will never walk into his property. It will never walk into his chatzar. The Shoyal, by giving the Mashal instructions to send it to his property, and as we've just finished explaining, under normal circumstances, that's where it will end up. Since under normal circumstances, that's where it's going to end up, that's enough for the Shoyal to be held responsible. Our Mara just taught us about a new type of kinyan, Hikisha v'makel v'tavoy. The Tverish Shloima and Parshas Vayichi says that Yaakov Avinu, as he calls together his children, says, Ha'esu v'gido lechem asher yikra eschem b'achos hayamim. Gather together, so I should tell you what's going to happen as Mashiach comes. So he says that the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Moshcheni achrecha v'narutza. Says there are two ways how to make a kinyan in an animal. One way to make a kinyan in an animal is to hit it. Hikisha b'mako, like we're discussing in our shir. Hikisha b'mako v'tavoy. You give it, you hit it, and it comes. The other way is korola v'ba. You call it, and it should come. So he says, Yaakov Avinu was telling his children, he'asu, gathered together, Ragidu Lechem Asher Yikra Eschem B'Achos HaYomim, Klal Yisrael is going to be gathered back together to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a kinyan back on Klal Yisrael. But as our Gemara teaches us, there are two ways, as we just learned, how to make a kinyan. One is Hakisha B'Mako, one is to do to hit it, and that's how it comes. Or the other way is Karav Yibo, to call it and he comes. So Yaakov Avinu says, I daven for my children that you've already suffered enough. Klal Yisrael has already suffered enough with the Kisha B'makel, that they've been hit with a stick. So my tefillah is, Ashiyikra Eschem, that the way we will be drawn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Mashiach Tzokeinu comes, Meherab Yameinu, Ashiyikra, with Kara Nivaba, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call us. And that's the way he'll have a kinyan in us, that we should become again the Am HaNifchar, the wonderful world of Mashiach, not Chas V'Shalom Kisha B'Makah. Mashreinu Achrecha, draw us close, not through hitting us, draw us close with words, V'Narutza, and we'll run after you. Amar Rav Huna, Shoyal Kardem Chaveroi, if somebody borrows an axe from somebody else, or Bakaba, and he used it to chop wood, kana, loy bakaba, but if he didn't chop with it, loy kana. Ask the Gemara, lamai, what did Rav mean? Ilay mil insan, if we're going to say that only if he used it, at that point he becomes a shoyal, and he'll be held responsible for einsim. Says the Gemara, it's difficult to understand this. Mishnah Parah, we've been learning now by the Parah, the halacha is, that
Mishah Shela, as soon as you become the Shoyl, the various ways that we've been learning throughout Ashir, how you can become a Shoyl, you become responsible. So why should the acts be any different? Says the Gemara, Ela Chazara. What's meant here is as far as when could you back out? If the Mashal wants to back out, Bakaba, if the person who borrowed it, the halacha is, if the person who borrowed it used it, then at that point, Loi Matza Hadabai Mashal, he can't back out from agreeing to lend it to me. Loi Bakaba, but if I didn't use it yet, like Bakaba Matzah Mashal Hadabai, he could back out. And the way to learn the Gemara Pashut is because the only way that you become a shoyl is by actually using it. But Ritva has a very hard time understanding that. He says, because we're learning throughout a Gemara, today's shir, that you become a shoyl as soon as you make a kinyan, or as soon as you give instruction, or as soon as it's coming towards you. So why do you have to use it to become a shoyl? So the way I think the Ritva means to say is that there are two statuses. A shoyl, you become as soon as the shayla begins. But as far as the actual chiv, the actual obligation that the mashal has to agree, that's another level. And that level is only achieved when the shoyl actually used it. Says the Gemara, Pligi the Ravami. It says the Gemara, and actually the Ritva takes this a step further. The Ritva's opinion is that really the Mashal should be allowed to back out, that the halacha is the Sha'ela doesn't begin in any way until he starts using it. But because, as we keep on learning, there's a higher standard when we speak about a shoyl than any other type of shoymer. Included in that higher standard that exists for a shoyl versus any other shoymer is that as soon as he agrees, or the different categories that we've learned in our shir, he becomes responsible to some level. A pligi de Ravami, dam Ravami, a mashal kadam shel hegdish. As soon as the gizber of Hegdish, as soon as somebody lends a kadam that belongs to Hegdish to someone else, moil, even though he didn't actually use it. How do we evaluate how much that mila was? Because the halacha is if somebody used something which belongs to Hegdish, he has to pay Hegdish what he had on all. He has to even add a fifth. And the question is, how was that evaluated? Says the Gemara, Lafi Toivas HaNashaba. And that means as much benefit that you'll get, that's what you have to pay. How much would somebody be willing to pay for the benefit that I should have this axe available to me? The Chaveira, but the halacha is the Shoyl, Mutal V'Goy Bel Chatchil. He could use it. Because, as we often discuss, when as soon as Me'ila takes place, as soon as Me'ila takes place, it becomes no longer Hegdish. If it's no longer Hegdish, the person who uses it is not being Moil Behegdish. So the question that all the Rishonim ask is that we just finished understanding that the person doesn't become obligated. The halacha is the person doesn't become only responsible for Toiv Shanah. So if he's only responsible for Toivus HaNoah, so that means it still is Hegdish. Because if it would not be Hegdish, then his level of responsibility should be much greater. So why is it that if he uses it, does the Gemara say it's not considered that you're Moel BeHegdish? So Taisus says a very interesting point. Taisus says that the amount, what's used, the measure that's used, what do I owe Hegdish for having benefit from Hegdish, is a separate halacha from the halacha of something not being Hegdish anymore. And therefore, even though when it comes to assess how much benefit I had from it, it's assessed by what only the Tavis HaNar Shabbat, but as far as the halacha, that if something of Hegdish was taken out of Hegdish's possession, that it's no longer considered Hegdish, that's the halacha. That halacha is that it, as soon as you took it out of Hegdish for personal use, even though it's not full use, it's no longer Hegdish. And Tosfos goes on to explain, these are two separate halachas. And he says the halacha of Moel Behegdish is not, because Tosfos is asking a question. If we're learning now that as soon as you did anything to take it out of the reshus of Hegdish, it's not Hegdish, so the halacha ought to be that you should have to pay according to that entire value, not just be limited to pay the, according to the Tavis HaNor. So Tosfos says the halacha of payment and the halacha of taking out of the reshus Hegdish are two separate halachas. Tosfos means to say that payment is dependent on how much benefit you had. That's a monetary value. So if I didn't actually use it, I only had Tavis HaNor. So the payment is only how much Tavis HaNor I had, not anymore. Whereas when we speak about the halacha of taking it out of Hegdish, there is another din, that as soon as it was taken out of the property of Hegdish, as soon as that takes place, the halacha is that you're considered a mile behegdish. Tosfos, but then there's another question. The Gemara teaches us that if somebody used the axe of Hegdish to chop wood with it, and then somebody else used it, and then somebody else used it, the halacha, the Tosefta Masechta Mila teaches us, kulam ma'alu, they all are considered that they violated Mila. But now the question is that, as we just finished learning the Gemara, explaining the Gemara, particularly according to the explanation of Tosfos, that as soon as Mi'ilah takes place, it's not considered in the property of Hegdish, so why, when you have this series of people using it, is it considered that they were all Mo'il? So some want to suggest that the Ravid's position is that there's actually Machloikis. And this Gemara that we just learned clearly disagrees with that Gemara. Tosfos says there's a difference. Who is the person that handed it to you? If it was a person who is not the Gizbar of Hegdish, he's not the treasurer of Hegdish. So there, says Tosfos, that's what the case of Al Gemara is speaking about. Al Gemara is speaking where it wasn't the Gizbar of Hegdish that passed it on to you. And that's where the halacha will be, that as soon as somebody who's not the Gizbar of Hegdish hands it to you, it's no longer Hegdish. Whereas the Gemara in Masechta Me'ilah is speaking about the Gizbar. The Gizbar, so he really, whenever he has it, it still belongs to Hegdish. So if it was not completely removed from the Rishus of Hegdish, all the people that use it will be Moyal. Ask the Gemara, Vi Loikana, but if it was saying that until you actually use it, it doesn't become yours, a maimol, why it considered that you're a mail, my chaver mutal, and if that's the question, if that's the case, that it wasn't used, and it's not yet yours, so why can I go and use that axe, understanding that it's not longer anymore Hegdish, the Hedre, I should give it back, v'loi likne, and will never become mine, and there won't be Mila. Why could I just go and use it without any question? Says the Gemara. So we see from here that as soon as the Shoyal takes possession of what he borrowed, even though he didn't yet use it, it's already considered his fully. And says the Gemara, Upligid Rebbe Lozer, there's another man Dama Rav Huna is disagreeing with, and that is Rebbe Lozer. That if I purchase something from you, it becomes mine through doing an act of Mashicha. As soon as Mashicha is done, he becomes the Shoyal, even though he didn't use it. I did see that the Namukha Yosef wants to differentiate between different types of shomrim. He says that a shoyl may be different than other shomrim because a shoyl is allowed to use what he borrowed. Other shomrim are not allowed to use what they borrowed. Tanya mihachik shem shetikne mishicha belakuchas. Just like when it comes to purchase something, as soon as you do mishicha, becomes yours. Kach tikne mishicha b'shomrim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, shem shekarka niknes. We know that halacha is the kark is niknes b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. These are all valid kinyonim. Kach schiris. If I rent something, the Gemara says, that's how the Gemara is explaining at this point. Niknes b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Ask the Gemara schiris ma'yveritei. What does schiris, when I rent something, have to do with this? Aron Chizda, what it means is the schiris karka. Just like when I purchase a karka, the halacha is the purchase is affected b'kesef b'shtar or b'chazaka, so too the halacha is by renting property, it becomes mine through kesef b'shtar chazaka. Our Gemara just had a interesting discussion about how and when somebody becomes a shomer. Somebody was sitting on a bus, and somebody approaches him and tells him, "I'm sitting on the bus." Somebody's standing outside of the bus. The window is presumably open or maybe not open, and the person tells me, "I just put a suitcase in the bottom of the luggage area of the suitcase of the bus, and please, when you arrive at your destination, take it home, and I'll have somebody come pick it up from you." And this person who was sitting on the bus shook his head. When he arrives to his destination, he forgot the suitcase. He forgets about that agreement, and by the time he comes back, the suitcase is not there. And the question is he held responsible? The halacha, the Sefer Mishpatei Torah says, is that he's not chayiv. Because very much based on our Gemara, that to become a shomer, you have to have some level of kinyan. But here, where there's no kinyan, it's not enough. But this is actually a machlokes rishonim. If somebody somebody just agreed to be a shomer, the halacha is that Tosfos says it's enough to become a shomer. So here, why by his nodding of the head, why would it not be considered that he's a shomer? So the answer to this question is a very important concept in Choshe Mishpat questions. As we just said, there's a machlokes rishonim if a kinyan is required to become a shomer. Some rishonim, some paiskim hold that a kinyan is required, and some agree that some say it's not considered a kinyan. So somebody's going to say to me, "Well, you nodded your head, and according to some rishonim, you should become a shomer. And if you were irresponsible in not making sure to take that suitcase home with you, you should now be held responsible, even if you're a shomer chinam, but this should be considered an act of pshia." I, the shomer, could say kimli. Kimli means that whenever there's a machloikis, whenever there's a dispute in a choshe mishpat question, I could say that I follow the opinions. I could follow a different opinion. And therefore, since I follow the other opinion, which is a legitimate, certainly in the case where it's a legitimate halachic opinion, I have every right to say that. And because I have every right to say it, that will be enough that I will not, that should be enough that I will be able to use that claim and not be held financially responsible. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Hay man de gozel chavita de tamri mechaveri. Somebody who stole a cake, a number of dates that are kept together. This by Chamish and Tamri. And in this pile of dates, there were 50. And the way they're sold is as follows. Agav Hadadi, if you buy all 50, Mizdabna Bechamisha Nachichada, the price is $49. However, if they're sold individually, Chada Chada, if they're sold individual, Mizdabna Bechamisha, they're sold for $50. Now the question is, what is the halacha if somebody stole this? How much would he have to pay, 50 or 49? So says the Gemara. Lehedjit, if he stole something like this from an individual, Meshalem Chamishim Nachichada, you pay 49. If you stole it from Hegdish, Meshalem Chamishim, you have to pay 50. And also, as we know, that when you steal something from Hegdish, then you have to also add a chaimish on top of it. Mashen came a mazik, says the Gemara, this halach is only by gazlin. A mazik, even a mazik hegdish, delay mashalm chumshim. You don't add a chaimish when you mazik hegdish. Damamar, ish kiyoichel kaidish. This halacha, the Torah says, ish kiyoichel kaidish bishgaga, v'yosef chamishas alav. That's when you eat hegdish, it's called a gazlin. Prat lamazik, that there is no chaimish. Ask the Gemara, maskula, rabibi, barabaya, lahedjit. We just said that if you stole it from a hedjit, you would only have to pay 49. Amai, mishalm, chamisha, nachichada. Why is it adequate just to pay 49? Namely, why can't the victim say to the gazlin, ano, chada, chada, have a mizlinalu? I would have sold it one at a time. And since I would have sold it one at a time, you should have to pay me 49, says the Gemara. Amar of Hunabre Yeshua. This goes back to a Mishnah that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama. That's Nun Heyam Abeis. The Mishnah there said, Shaman Beis Saw Ba'isa Saw the Tanan. If an animal ate grain off a row of grain in a field, we don't look at this grain individually, at this row individually. We look at this was a row in a field that was a base saw large, where it's one row out of many rows. Obviously, the damage when it's one row, if you damage one row amongst many other rows, the value of that damage is much less than if you damage a freestanding row. Says the Gemara, the Memra. So we're learning now. So from there we learned that we're lenient towards the mazik, and here too we're lenient that he only has to pay the $49 price, not the $50 price. Says the Gemara, lememra the Sava Shmuel hedjit lav kedin gavoy dami. We're treating hedjit different than hegdish. Hedjit pays 49, hegdish pays 58. Vatanan asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Meila speaks about the Gizbar, who we mentioned a little while ago. And the Gizbar took not even a Kershal Hegdish. He took Hegdish, he took a stone or a beam from Hegdish, just taking it Loimal. Why is it not considered Mila? Because it's still in my possession. And given that I'm the Gizbar, I really haven't done anything when I just took it. However, Nosno L'Chaveroi, if the Gizbar gave it to somebody else, Mal. Because he gave it to somebody else, so that's the act of a mila. The chaveroi, if the person who I gave it to uses it, loy mol, because he became his when the gizbar gave it to him. Barna b'toich beisoy, but if he put it on his house, loy mol, because if you just placed it down, you could pick it up. Achi the tachta, until you live right under it, shir shava praetum. If the gizbar, as we keep on saying, uses it, keeps it in his possession, it will never be an act of mila, because it's always supposed to be in his possession. Only when he uses it and benefits, what does it mean? That he put it on top of his roof, and he sat under it, and he had benefit, because he has a beam for his roof. V'yosu Ravavu kamed Rav Yochanan. It says that when Ravavu was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan, V'yosu kamed shmeid shmul, zoy sameris, hadar b'chatzar chaver shloy medatoy, that if I live in your property without your permission, even though you didn't really lose anything, I still have to pay you rent. But ask the Gemara, by Hegdish, just like somebody who lives, somebody who nenesh mehegdish is chayiv. Somebody who benefits from somebody else without his knowledge should be chayiv. But by the chavitz, the tamri, so it's treated the same way. Just like if you had benefit. Hegdish by meal, by definition, is always b'shogig. And there, you didn't do anything. The halacha is that you're chayiv just for having lived there. You're chayiv just for benefiting by hegdish. And that's why the same thing, if I live in your property, I have benefit from you, even though it's a property, as the Rishonim explained, that is not meant to be rented out, you still are obligated to pay you. I'm still obligated to pay you. So we treat Hegdish and Hegdish the same way. In our Gemara, we don't treat Hegdish and Hegdish the same way, but this pile of dates, Hegdish gets $50 payment and Hegdish gets $49. Says the Gemara, Hadabai Shmuel Mahi. And where Shmuel compared Hegdish to Hegdish, in the case of Mila, actually is incorrect. Ask the Gemara, and we don't treat them the same way. Ask Marmaidabe, he Hadabe, who says he changed his mind? In that case, where he treats Hegdish and Hegdish the same. Dama Mahahadar, maybe this is the halacha from which he changed his mind. Says the Gemara, Loi, may he Hadabe, certainly that is the case where Shmuel reversed his opinion. By Hegdish, there's a special halacha that if you did something without the Hegdish being aware, it's still considered that you had Hana, but that has nothing to, that's only by Hegdish, but not by Hegdish. So Agamar just said that Hadar b'chatzer chaver shleim edatoi, if I live in your apartment without your knowledge, tzarech lahalos leischar. So I saw a very interesting question that the Sefer Chashukei Chema discusses. Unfortunately, many people in Eretz Yisrael during our very difficult time have abandoned left their communities because they're places that are very dangerous. And other people have remained in those communities. And there's a person who left his apartment, and somebody else moved in to the apartment. And now, the original owner, the owner of the apartment, comes back, and he says that you need to pay me rent for this time that you ran away. So he quotes a Shaila Tshuvas Afaska D'Anya, Choshem Mishpat Chelek Dalet Simen Shin Yud Beis. He says, during World War I, many people ran away from their homes, and they left their homes abandoned, and other people moved into those homes. And now the original owners, after the war ended, come back. Can they ask for rent from the people who lived in those apartments while they were gone? So actually, this is very much connected to a sugya that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama Daf Chof, the sugya of Zen Nenev Zalei Chaser. If I have benefit, but you don't have any loss, only if it's a place that's loy kaima la'agra, where it's not meant to be rented, so there we could claim zen nenev zolei chaser. So the question is, and therefore the Ramah, in Choshem Mishpat Shimon Shin Samach Gimel Siv Vav, when he quotes this halacha, says that if it's a home that's kaima la'agra, that's meant to be rent, so then I can't live there without paying you rent. And the Ramah goes on to say that b'zman hazeh, we could assume that all apartments are kaima la'achra, are meant to be rented. But this may not be the same. A person who's abandoning his apartment, leaving his apartment because of a war situation, is not leaving the apartment because he wants to rent it out. He's leaving because he doesn't consider where his apartment is to be safe. And therefore, it could be that everybody would agree that this is a case of Zed Nenev Zolei Chaser. But then there's another consideration. Even in a case where it's Zed Nenev Zolei Chaser, and it's a place where it's Loikaim La'agra, the Gemara we learned says that if you did any damage to that apartment, then the halacha is that you're certainly going to have to pay. And certainly if people lived in somebody else's apartment, they deteriorated, they lived there, the wear and tear, so they should be chayiv to pay. So the Chashukei Chemed seems to be saying, at first glance, these people should have to be paying rent. But then he says that this is when people are abandoning a place because it's dangerous, there is no rental value. When you have to pay for rent, is because there's a value for the rent. And now I lived in that apartment, I have to pay that value. But if it's a time where people abandon the apartment, then the apartment has no value. So what's the rent I'm paying? And moreover, he says that the owner could perhaps, you could perhaps say to the owner, I did you a favor. Because if the apartment would have been left empty, who knows what, who would have come in there? I, who moved in to your apartment, made sure that nobody should be able to take it away. What about that I had the I used the electricity and the gas and the water? He said, that's not considered having the having used the apartment. That's not the apartment itself. Those are external expenses. And since those are external expenses, that's not considered the wear and tear of the apartment. Not only that, he says that the halacha may be that I should be invited into the apartment. I should be invited into the apartment that to be able to have, if I'm don't have where to live and it's a time of danger, so you have an obligation to bring me into this apartment. So we see and we see that he claimed that we learned in the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama that Pei Aleph that Yeshua made many rules for people when they come to Eretz Yisrael that they should have place to be where they don't have anywhere to be. So it seems that he holds that you wouldn't have to pay rent. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hani Shekloi, people who carry packages, the Tavra Chaveta Chama L'Chavona, they broke a barrel of wine that belongs to a storekeeper. So now they're responsible. It's a case that they will be held responsible. But now the question is, how do we assess the value? He says, Biyom the Shuka, on the market day, Bizdabna Bechamish, this barrel of wine is sold for 5 zuz. B'shayu, I mean, that's when there's a market and it goes up in value. In the other days, B'shayu, Bizdabna Be'arba, the value is only 4 zuz. So what's the halacha? I had really Biyom the Shuka, if I return it to you on a shuk day, Mahadrele Chavita de Chamra, I could give you back a barrel of wine. And since I could give you back a barrel of wine, even though I pay 4 zuz, you'll be able to get back for it 5 zuz. B'shayomim, after the Mahadrele Chamish, I have to give you 5, because you could say to me, if I would have had it, I would have been able to sell it. He had no other wine to sell that day. Avlei Chamer Lezuni, if he had other wine to sell that day, so sell that wine and don't say, well, I needed this wine to sell. Furthermore, when you're able to get the better price, Menakalei Agaterche, you could deduct, if you want to take it to the market, there's a cost to bring it there. And there's a price at the Mezer Nusei. You could get more, but you have to open up the barrel. And that costs money. All of that is deducted from the price that I have to pay. So therefore, Rashi, in explaining this Gemara, says that even though the barrel was broken on a non-market day, when it's worth only 4 zuz, he has to pay 5 zuz, or give him a whole barrel of wine, since the owner says, I wanted to sell it on a 5 zuz day. The Ravid has a different pshat. The Ravid says that Al Gemara is speaking about a case when he broke the barrel on a market day where it's worth 5 zuz, and that's why he has to pay 5 zuz. However, if it was broken on a non-market day, so on such a day, the barrel is only worth 4 zuz, so says the Ravid that my responsibility doesn't go up to 5 zuz just because on the market day it's worth 5 zuz. Because he uses the klal, the rule that we learned many times, kol hashomrim mishalman kishas apshia. in order to defend Rashi, the Ktzais differentiate between something which certainly the value will go up versus something which the value happened to go up. He says, normally you only pay according to the value it had on the day that you did the damage. But if it's certainly going to go up, so the halacha of Garmi says that you're going to be held responsible for the price for when it's going to go up. So even though the barrel, according as Rashi explains, was broken before the market day, on a day when it's only worth 4 zuz, but since it's certainly going to go up, I have to pay the whole value. And there's another question that the Paiskim discuss related to this Gemara. And that is, what happened if I ruined one earring of a pair of earrings? So let's say this pair of earrings is worth $100. Each earring is $50. But without having a pair, the earring is worth only $30. What do I have to pay you? Do I have to pay you for the value of $50? Or do I have to pay you $50? Or maybe I have to pay you $70 because the value of the earring that you have left went down to $30. And the Paiskim, Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon, discusses this question, and he says you would have to pay $70. Very much connected to our Gemara, where our Gemara says we look at what it had as potential value, and even according to explanation that the Ktzais just offered, where it's certain that it's going to have that value, I certainly will be held responsible. And here it's certainly going to have that value, and therefore I will be held responsible. The Paiskim compare this question to another question, and that is, what is the halacha where somebody gave a suit to the cleaner, and the cleaner ruined the jacket, but the pants are fine. But people aren't going to wear the pants without the jacket. And since people are not typically going to wear those pants without the jacket, the cleaner who has to pay for the damage he did has to pay for the whole suit, or how much the value that I could get, even if I wear the pants, but it's not that valuable to me anymore wearing them without the jacket. Al Gemara just said, we value everything, how to value things. So what happens if somebody broke something in a store? The question is, how do we look at it? Do we have to pay the wholesale price, or do we have to pay according to the price that the person who's selling it could collect? So the price can suggest that you have to pay according to the price that the store charges, not the wholesale price. The other question is, let's say I was in a hotel. In a hotel, they'll charge $10 for a cup of coffee. But somewhere else, a cup of coffee is much less. And I spilled a cup of coffee in a way that I'm going to be held responsible. How much do I have to pay? Do I have to pay according to the value of the coffee in the place where I did the damage? Or do I pay according to the value of the coffee which I could get a cup of coffee for? The Sefer Mishpatei Torah says that part of the value of something is not just what it's worth, but the ambiance connected to something is part of its value. And if you ruined a cup of coffee in a hotel, you would have to pay the value of that cup of coffee, what it's worth in the hotel, not what it's worth somewhere else.